tackling the issues that shape our state. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, so this is actually very cool. So I'm here at the Montana Chamber of Commerce's Business Days at the Capitol, and I got set up earlier this morning. I'm having coffee, and I'm talking to folks that are coming through. Hey, who are the cool people to talk to while I'm here? Who are the great guests that we should get on the radio? And one of them is sitting with us right now. Neil Weldon is with Line 49 Rifle. And anyway, Neil, great to see you on the show. Before I give our listeners the backstory, first off, great to see you. Thanks for coming down to join us.
Well, thanks, Aaron. I appreciate the intro there. It's nice to be called one of the cool guys, but appreciate it.
Well, you're with a gun company, so you're already in good with our listeners right there. You're based out of Kalispell. The company is... So what I think is really cool is, so I was joking with you off air, in order to save money for the company, I got a room on base at Fort Harrison last night, and it was so cool. Earlier this morning, I'm driving past the community center. It's the bar, but they call it the community center, and it's the Devil's Brigade Community Center, because Fort Harrison is where the first Special Service Force trained for World War II. And, of course, the patch for the first Special Service Force was an arrowhead patch that said U.S. Canada on it. And this business is a U.S. Canada business, essentially, right?
That's 100% right. It started in Red Deer a long time ago, about 15 years ago. It started as a very small indoor shooting range where they rented guns. Then they started selling guns because that business was doing good. And then, believe it or not, what happened was they had the inventory in stock, and then the Canadian gun laws were changing rapidly. So they were stuck with all this inventory of all these firearms, and they said, oh my gosh, what do we do? So they actually, you know, thinking like good entrepreneurs, they hired a couple machinists and they bought some lathes, and they said to the federal government, the Canadian federal government, if we change this and this, are these firearms still technically illegal based on these new rulings? And the Canadian government said, well, no, not technically. So they said, okay. So they started adapting these firearms, and then their business blossomed, and it took off after that. Well, the Canadian gun laws continued to change, and it became...
That's an understatement.
Yeah, it is an understatement. It was very hard for them, as you can imagine. And so just recently, they said, hey, this is getting just harder and harder and harder. What do we do? So the answer was, well, I think we go south and we go into the U.S. because they were really looking for the protection that the Second Amendment provided.
Yeah, which is kind of funny. So, you know, what I've heard is, you know, a lot of Canadians that own homes in the United States, hey, make sure you have it. They got to keep all their guns down here, essentially. So it's another reason why a lot of Canadians like to own, you know, have a second home in the United States of America, is because they can keep their guns down here. And apparently you can't live on the lakes up there either. So where you can live on lakes down here if you got the money to be able to do it too.
That's
so,
right.
So a couple of interesting sidebars. But man, fun to get a chance to meet you. I heard you gave a great presentation yesterday. You were telling me you just retired out of the United States Air Force. Thanks for your service. And I don't know if you can tell us a little bit about what you did in the Air Force, because it sounds like you had a really cool job. We got to take a quick break here on Montana Talks. We'll talk more here with Neil Weldon, the general manager for Line 49 Rifle. He's based out of Kalispell. He's with us here in Helena this morning. We'll talk more with him right after the break. And then I think they're going to be at the SHOT Show in Las Vegas, so he's going to have to come down and see us at the SHOT Show as well.
It's January 7th, and this is your Fox Daily Snapshot. It's National Tempura Day. The recipe for tempura was introduced to Japan in the mid-16th century by Portuguese Jesuit missionaries. And today, chefs all over the world include some kind of tempura dish on many of their menus. Let's be honest, everything tastes better fried. Also on this date, the U.S. Congress authorized doubling the president's salary to $200,000 a year in 1969. The impeachment trial of former President Bill Clinton began in the Senate in 1999, and the single In the Club by rapper 50 Cent is released in 2003. It would go on to win the MTV Video Music Award for Best Rap Video and Best New Artist that same year, as well as be named the Billboard Song of the Year. If it's your birthday today, you share it with the author of The Exorcist, William Peter Blatty, born in 1928. I'm Tushar Saxena, and that's your Fox Daily Snapshot.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana, statewide, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yes, I've got his actual official bio in front of me here from the Business Days at the Capitol Agenda Conference outline here. Yeah, our guest right now, Neil Weldon with Line 49 Rifle. Full bird, retired colonel from the United States Air Force. In fact, I was talking with him during the break. You were a special agent with Air Force OSI, Office of Special Investigations, and I got a chance to you know, meet up with some OSI guys when I was on a deployment to Africa. Anyway, really, you're like the NCIS. A lot of people know NCIS because, you know, the Navy guys have to have a TV show, of course. And so OSI right. is the Air Force's version of the NCIS. Is that an easy way to kind of break it down?
Well, that's a great way to break it down. In fact, most people haven't heard of OSI, so that's exactly how I enter it. What's OSI? Well, we're like NCIS, but we don't have a TV show. Interesting fact, believe it or not, long time ago, the TV show or the TV network came to the Air Force and said, hey, we want to make a TV show about criminal law enforcement in the military. Could we do it on OSI? And OSI said, no, we don't think that would be a good idea. I think that was a mistake in hindsight, because it was good, would have been good for recruiting, but whatever.
Yeah.
Worked for the Navy.
The Air Force doesn't need help with recruiting, let's be honest, you know. Yeah, as an Army guy, I can joke about that. No, great folks. Well, that's incredible. I heard great remarks following your presentation yesterday. I'll have to go back and watch it. What was your message yesterday? What did you want to communicate to this audience?
Yeah, you know, it was interesting. So the questions that I really keyed in on and enjoyed talking about was, you know, why Montana? Why did they want to come to Montana? And really, it's two main reasons. One, honestly, is proximity, right? A lot of our owners came from or are still in Alberta, like I mentioned previously. So, you know, close proximity from Alberta to Montana, that makes sense. And then the second reason, which is more, I think, interesting and fun for me to tell, is the culture, right? The culture in Montana, you mentioned it yourself a little bit ago with, you know, the guns and the gun discussions here are welcome. Well, business for gun manufacturers is very welcome here. So not only at the social level, you know, talking to people, whenever I say, or somebody asks me, hey, you know, what are you doing now that you're retired? And I say, well, I'm the general manager for a gun manufacturing company in Kalispell. Their eyes get huge, like saucers, and that's kind of fun. But then the second thing, or the second part of that, is the community support, the government support, the business support that we have received has been shocking. I mean, absolutely shocking. The Chamber of Commerce, the Department of Commerce, the Department of Labor, the Governor's Office, Senator Sheehy's office, everybody has just bent over backwards to try to help us.
Well, really the whole state, but the Flathead in particular is an incredible gun manufacturing business. And I was at a football game and somebody was asking me, they said, well, how would you describe the economy of the Flathead? And I was like, well, we need to get more timber again. And we need to get more mining in Lincoln County again. But I said, yeah, obviously tourism's big, but really, and timber's still big, don't get me wrong, but we got to make it bigger again. But manufacturing is huge, and that's what's going to provide opportunities for kids coming out. Because, yeah, there's a lot of people that are coming that, you know, have wealth and can buy these nice homes. And, well, that's good for restaurants and things like that. I get it. But that doesn't provide the high-wage jobs for kids graduating these schools. That's what these manufacturing businesses provide, and that's why we got to see more of that, if you ask me. Christian Corrigan, the Solicitor General for the under Attorney General Austin Knutson, I heard he had a great presentation as well because, you know, frankly, you know, Montana, we're supporting our gun manufacturers and our freedoms in our gun industry, but there's parts of America where they're thinking they're, you know, trying to get these gun control. They're using the big banks to try to starve out gun businesses. And so I understand debanking was a big topic that came up yesterday.
It was. And, so we look at the various different states, you know, like Smith & Wesson. They've recently left Massachusetts and they've moved to Tennessee. Ruger is in the process of shifting operations outside of Connecticut. They're big in Arizona, and they're looking to maybe shift more assets and more resources and more operations elsewhere as well. And those are just a couple. Weatherby was in California. They moved to Sheridan, Wyoming recently. So there's a big shift, right? And the shift is both from a business perspective and a cultural perspective. And I think Montana really has an opportunity there. So when I was talking to Christian yesterday, I asked him, You know, what is it? Can you give us a glimpse behind the curtain? What is it that the AG's office, the governor's office, what fights are you guys taking on our behalf, both as manufacturers and then just, you know, everyday American citizens, you know, for gun rights? And his answer was really pretty detailed. I mean, they're doing a lot. And I didn't quite realize the level of both effort and then enthusiasm that they're taking the fight.
We've talked a lot about on this show about woke and ESG and all this. And the reality is that it started by going after the gun businesses. And they said, oh, wait, we've used, banks and woke ESG stuff to target guns. Why don't we use it to target timber? Why don't we use it to target Christians? Why don't we use it to target oil and gas and coal? Everything that makes up our Montana economy. And so that's why this fight is so important, and that's why we're so lucky to have a great attorney general like Austin Knutson and his solicitor Christian Corrigan. Some of those, Neil Weldon, some of those businesses you talked about moving to Wyoming, well, why did they move to Sheridan, Wyoming? Because their governor at the time was at the SHOT Show telling them about the opportunities for these manufacturers. And with our governor, Gianforte, that's what he's been doing as he's been governor. And that's why Montana is now finally in a big way seeing a lot of this action here recently as well. I got to take another quick break. Can you join me for just a couple more minutes after the break?
You bet.
Perfect. All right, Neil Weldon. And then, of course, we'll catch up with you and your crew down at the SHOT Show here, hopefully in a couple of weeks as well. But we'll talk more with Neil Weldon with Line 49 Rifle coming up right after this. And then we've got a couple of other great guests that are going to join us over our phone lines as well. So I'll get them in the queue here. And then coming up around 8:40, my friend Adam Gilbertson, he's actually moderating one of the panel discussions here later this morning. He's a big-time VP with RDO Equipment and a former president of the Montana Equipment Dealers Association.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, so fun chatting here with Neil Weldon with Line 49 Rifle. I can't wait to meet more of their team, maybe even see their products firsthand. Well, I guess I could go see you in Kalispell as well, but I'm sure you'll have a great setup down at the SHOT Show in Vegas there, along with the Montana Department of Commerce team. We didn't even really get a chance to, I'm sure our listeners are out there saying, well, hey, tell us about Line 49 Rifle. What do you guys actually make? Tell us about your products.
Yeah, thanks. So what we're starting with are what we call our super short action bolt rifles. So it's a miniaturized bolt gun, specifically designed around the Hornady Arc family of cartridges, also 223 Remington, 300 Blackout, eventually 338 Arc. And what they are, they're designed and built in-house. They're all proprietary designs, our own IP. We chamber our own barrels, of course. And they're primarily for the competition world right now. So PRS is the primary market. And we're starting with a few models right there. We're also modifying some Henry lever action rifles. We've partnered with Ranger Point Precision to make those sort of tactical, and they've turned out pretty good. Same thing with Smith & Wesson lever guns, both in 357 Magnum, 4570. And then maybe we'll expand out from there. We're trying to be modest in how we're starting. We don't want to get too far out ahead of our skis. And, you know, we expect, though, if the demand is where we expect it to be, you know, we'll branch out and we'll build traditional hunting rifles and other things like that. But that's where we're starting right now. And, by the way, we'd love if you wanted to stop by and see us in Kalispell, great. Or
let's
for sure
do it.
SHOT Show.
No, that'd be fun. It'd be fun to see your on-the-ground operation and then also see you at the SHOT Show as well. So we'll have to do that. Let's plan on that. Do you use the old school iron sights on some of your lever actions in particular as well?
They actually have a Picatinny rail on the top of these Ranger Point handguards. So they're kind of a blend between a pretty modern tactical looking rifle as well as the old lever action gun. This Henry Lever Action Supreme is a new release from Henry. It's a really, really neat rifle. It uses an AR bolt. It's probably the smoothest lever-action gun I've ever cycled, ever. And so we were able to work with Ranger Point, and we've got those in stock as well. That's a neat gun. The other guns, the 4570s, no, to answer your question, you know, I mean, honestly, they're looking. We're looking to put dots on them or scopes or something like that.
Yeah.
You could put flip-up sights just like an AR-15 if you wanted to, but we're completely modifying the top half of them as well. So,
interesting. Yeah. All right. Well, I look forward to seeing your operation in Kalispell and to seeing you guys at the SHOT Show as well. Thanks so much for joining us here on Montana Talks.
Awesome.
And thanks again for your service and OSI. We'll have to get you back on again, just telling some more stories, getting your reaction to the Venezuela news and all that would be pretty fun to get your insight as a retired 06 on that front as well. Thanks a lot. Great to have you on the show.
Thanks, Aaron.
All right. Well, jumping right into it, man, that's got me even more excited for our coverage from the SHOT Show coming up here in just a couple of weeks. You know what? You know what's really fun is, the downside to Las Vegas, though, is it's freaking expensive down there. A bottle of water is like $10. And, you want to get food for breakfast, for lunch, and dinner? Oh, my goodness. You better hope you have a lot of money. But that's why I love to time my Billings Last Diet tune-ups with when I go to the SHOT Show, because then I just pack my snacks, my ideal protein snacks from Billings Last Diet. I'm saving buku bucks. Dr. Dale Williams with Billings Last Diet, now with us here on Montana Talks. Hey, Doc, Happy New Year to you.
Hey, Happy New Year to you, Aaron. Yeah, that SHOT Show comes up pretty quick, and it seems like every year you take packets down when you go down to the SHOT Show.
I do. Well, I'm a cheapskate. I want to save money on food, and frankly, it just makes it easier. You know, while you're walking all over the place interviewing people, you don't have time to eat, so I can just pull a little, it looks like a Rice Krispie treat, but it's a protein bar, and boom, I'm good to go. We've got Dr. Jordan from Billings Last Diet with us as well. Doc Jordan, Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year. And, the interesting thing is you mentioned how simple it is to just grab that protein bar and go. People this time of year, they're looking to renew their health. They're trying to figure out how can we lose weight. It's January. That's one of the most common goals, is get healthy, in 2026. And then you start doing online research. You start looking and trying to figure out what's going to work best for you. And it can get complicated very quickly. And our program, the Billings Last Diet, is meant to be simplified. It's just easy to follow. You have a coaching aspect that can guide you the entire way. My favorite phase is phase one, because I don't have to think about what I'm eating. Don't have to do any complicated calculations on macros. I just say, here's my, 4 cups of vegetables a day. Here's my protein packets, and I'm good to go. Those tune-ups are some of the most simple dieting hacks there are, because you don't have to think and plan and do all this research. You just go back to the basics, clean up the diet. You have, like you mentioned, the packets you can take with you if you're traveling, wherever you're going, and just do your tune-up or do that phase one. So it's fantastic, especially while you're traveling.
Oh, it's great. In fact, Dr. Dale Williams, last night my son was wrestling in Whitefish. They had a wrestling meet there, so I caught part of that. And then I had to hit the road. I'm driving through a snowstorm between Swan Lake and Sealy Lake. The gas station down there at the junction was closed down, but I had my protein chips right there. I'm good to go. I had all the snacks I needed for the drive. So, Doc Williams, we've got, our show, we've always been on the radio in Missoula from 9 to 10 a.m. for our big statewide hour. But now our friends in Missoula also get to join us for the early morning hours conversation. So they may not be aware of the fact that a program like Billings Last Diet actually works wonders for people in Missoula also, because you've got a great new remote option that's out there right now. So that's why I would encourage you, even if you live in Missoula, check out Billings Last Diet. It's the program that worked for me. We've got listeners that have lost over 100 pounds on this program, and they're out on the North Dakota Montana border. Doc Williams, GLP-1s, these are very popular right now, but they can have their downsides. They can have their complications. And that's why even people that are using GLP-1s are being encouraged to work with a nutritional program like your program.
Yeah, exactly. So the GLP-1, what cannot be disputed is it decreases your appetite. And when you decrease your appetite, you eat less food. When you eat less food, you lose weight. So that cannot be disputed, but it doesn't give the full package. So the GLP-1 just decreasing your quieting the food noise or decreasing your appetite doesn't determine a healthy weight loss. So one of the biggest side effects of the GLP-1 is muscle loss. Another big side effect is a lack of nutrition, because they're eating less. They're not eating the good foods that they need. And the third biggest drawback that we see is, what is your plan after, if you've been on or if you're going to use GLP-1s, what's your plan after you lose the weight? Do you plan on using those GLP-1s forever? And with Billy's Last Diet, with our protocol in conjunction with our GLP-1 users, we answer all of those questions by giving you the ideal amount of protein so you don't lose muscle, by giving you the nutritional guidance as well as the coaching to help with your nutritional needs, and the education you need so that you don't have to remain on those medications for the rest of your life in order to keep the weight off.
Yeah, and that's such a great point, because especially me, I don't want to be taking a shot every day unless you have to because of some medical need, right? Or even a pill every day, frankly. But yeah, if you're taking these GLP-1s, okay, it's lowering your hunger. Well, that's good. But if you're destroying your body because you're not feeding your body the nutrition that it needs, boy, you're potentially opening up a whole world of hurt. And Dr. Jordan, you know, that's the thing that I really find the most helpful with your team of diet coaches there, you know, like Jen and the whole crew, is that oftentimes when I'm doing my tune-up, I need to be reminded that, Aaron, make sure you're getting your vegetables in, or, hey, make sure you're getting your salt in. And so there's a lot of people that they hit this brick wall when they're trying to lose weight on their own. It's because maybe they're not feeding their body enough of the right things. You know, they know the things not to feed their body, but they don't know what they still need to feed their body in the meantime.
That's right. And it comes down to being intentional about what you're eating. Most people get really, uptight when they hear the word diet, because they think, you know, restrictive means I'm miserable, means I can't be happy, and I have to hide during dinner parties in a corner and eat my protein packet or something like that. And that's not true. What it is having the education to know that when you go out to eat with friends, you're not gonna get the huge stack of French fries covered in gravy and cheese. You're gonna go ahead and get the salad, get the vegetables that you like, that you know that work for you, so you can eat out with friends and do the things you want to do, but just be more intentional about the food you're eating. With the GLP-1 we talked about, you're losing the weight, but you're not creating a lifestyle that sustains that weight long term. Our program is three phases. The first phase is weight loss. So if you're taking the GLP-1s and you've already accomplished your weight loss goals, or you're getting close, our next phase is education on how to sustain that weight. And then phase three is maintaining that long term. And so that whole package together is really what makes our program the success that it is. Not just losing the weight, but learning how to create habits that sustain that weight long-term in a healthy way.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I'll tell you what, it's been just so great for me, Dr. Williams. I think we're going on 8 years now since I first started your program after I got back from my last deployment. And but I tell you, it's just been a life changer just all around. You know, it's not just about losing the weight to, you know, to slim down for that 20-year reunion or the beach vacation some of you might get a chance to go to. It's about being around for your kids and your grandkids and just feeling better and being healthier. So check them out, BillingsLastDiet.com, or give them a call, 406-294-6751. Like I say, even if you're in Missoula, we've got listeners like Tim and Savage out there on the Mondakistan border. He lost 100 pounds on this program using their remote option. Docs, thank you so much for being with us, and Happy New Year to both of you and your whole crew.
Thank you, Dan.
Right there. All right. Thanks, gentlemen. Coming up right after the break, a great friend of mine, Adam Gilbertson, is the Senior Vice President for Field Technology for RDO Equipment. He's also a past president of the Montana Equipment Dealers Association. And more importantly, he's a fellow Iraq War veteran. In fact, I was telling our Air Force OSI vet earlier about his deployment. Oh, my goodness. He had, like, I think the longest deployment in the history of the Iraq War, along with a six-month train-up to it. And the Air Force guy was just like shaking his head, like, holy cow, you know. And even Army guys would shake their hands at that one, by the way, too. It's not an Air Force deal.
Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Yeah, man, Adam Gilbertson here in the house, Senior Vice President for Field Technology, RDO Equipment. He's also a past president of the Montana Equipment Dealers Association. In fact, you were the COVID president, so you just kept being president.
They kept me for a while.
You were like some South American dictator that just didn't want to leave power of the Montana Equipment Dealers, or they wouldn't let you leave.
Right. We did hold free and fair elections, and I kept getting a short end of the straw.
You were waiting for Delta to come in and take you out of it, but nope, they just kept making you stay president there.
Indeed.
Yeah. Man, we were talking 20 years, though. I was joking with the, well, not joking, I was telling the Air Force OSI guy about you literally probably had one of the worst, longest deployments. You and your guys, you were Minnesota National Guard 20 years ago. I remember seeing you guys in Camp Shelby, Mississippi. I was long gone from Camp Shelby. I was already in Ramadi, Iraq. And so, yeah, 20 years ago, you were still sitting in Camp Shelby, Mississippi.
We were.
And then you got extended in Iraq for 6 months on top of your year deployment. My goodness.
It was 23 months total from the day I left the state till we got back. Yeah, it was the long deployment, they called it.
I'm glad you can smile about it now, at least.
Indeed.
Well, welcome to the suck, right?
Yeah, indeed.
I remember when you spoke at a Lincoln Reagan dinner and you said that very thing, welcome to the suck. And boy, have the politics changed since that moment, you know?
Indeed, yeah.
So you're the moderator for a really important conversation taking place here in about 1 hour, workforce development. Look, we talk about gun manufacturers, you know, we talk about automotive repair, diesel. The equipment industry, doesn't matter. Everybody needs good, skilled workers. We had Mike Rowe, the one and only Mike Rowe, doing the jobs here in Montana, doing an event with Governor Gianforte. They were both on the radio with me talking about this very thing right here.
Yeah, it's, the last few years we've been real active with Build Montana, working on bringing young people into the industry, partnering with the Contractors Association. Been working with the Chamber over the last couple of years in a Cultivating Careers program where we're focused on the ag side of the world, talking to kids about how machines, technology, drones are coming into agriculture and getting some interest there. In that process, I became a member of the Governor's State Workforce Innovation Board, and in July became the chair. And so when the governor released his new 406 jobs program this summer, he tasked us pretty heavily at the SWIB to drive that effort. And, you know, 406, pretty nice play on our area code, but stands for four pathways to work. Now, you know, college, career, military, and entrepreneurship. Zero barriers to employment. How do we help Montana kids and Montana folks find great jobs? And focusing on six really high demand sectors, the construction trades being one of them, healthcare, advanced manufacturing, recreation, hospitality, but really trying to focus all the agencies of the state, both at the education systems, at the state agencies, and the industry sectors of how do we solve these workforce issues.
Well, and because a lot of these jobs could be six-figure jobs for kids right out of high school if they've got the right training. The thing that stood out to me, I was trying to pull up the story from my Montana Talks website after we had Mike Rowe on the show, because Mike Rowe was in this room with, 30, 35 big-time CEOs, and I think President Trump was there at the time as well. And one of the CEOs asked him, he said, Mike, you know, I've got all these jobs that need to be filled. They're six-figure jobs. They're good jobs. He says, where do I find these workers? And he said, they're in the eighth grade. That's where he said those workers are.
That's right. You got to start earlier. The days where you could just open a job fair or find a person to fill a job, those days are really long gone. And you've got to really start focusing at a much younger age on these career opportunities. You know, and I think society in the United States, we do a great job of creating doctors and lawyers and accountants. We've got that process really well dialed in. We've got a certification program. There's a college. A lot of other jobs, though, don't have that process. And so how do we get young people aware of what's out there, what opportunities are there that can keep them right here in Montana? And that's where, you know, I'm really excited about the 406 jobs program, because it's going to drive that industry partnership into the schools, into our governmental programs.
Whenever we're sitting by a campfire here in Montana, I always like hearing about the latest technology in your industry. So RDO Equipment is not John Deere green, John Deere yellow. Well, sometimes they'll still be
a little
green
bit of both,
on the construction side too, right? But but you guys deal with the construction side of John Deere by and large, and then of course you got your farm equipment guys that do the, you know, the ag side. But I love hearing about the technology, especially when it comes to building roads or improving roads or maintaining roads, the precision technology, the drone technology, what they're doing in Belgrade. You're putting, you know, giving opportunities to wounded veterans, disabled veterans, operating remotely. This equipment is incredible. From your industry's perspective, what is some of the cool technology that you're seeing, and especially for job opportunities for Montana's young people, what types of technology could they get to play with right now?
Yeah, there's a lot of really interesting things coming around the market today. Autonomy is a big component we're working on, and the jobs are going to look a little different because it may not be an operator in the future, but the ability to create the system, the structure, the programs around that to have equipment work a little bit more. You know, we've got GPS technology guiding the accuracy, but now how do we take that kind of these next steps? And so you're seeing a lot of work in that space. There's some really exciting things coming up in 2026 that I can't talk about yet, but are really excited about what they're going to be and how us taking that next step into integrating these technologies into, you know, John Deere on the ag side has been running this year. I think they had about 40 autonomous tractors running in ag tillage across the country. I think they put on a few hundred thousand acres of tillage in that period of time.
When I was at the Montana Farm Bureau in Missoula for their convention, we had a guy out of Chester who has, you know, basically an autonomous it's an autonomous irrigation system, essentially. When you think about it, irrigation is already pretty much autonomous anyway, but it's more precision guided, and it's like a drone on the ground that's more targeted with your so instead of your traditional pivot that's just going all the way across the land or making a big circle, this can be much more precise, more targeted.
And as AI comes into that, the machine learning component and starts to take things that we couldn't use before because it was too data dense. Now, being able to surface these variables and decision points more quickly, it's going to change the way the work gets done and change the way that young people come into the industry, which it's a lot of fun when you start talking about
that's
the fact.
That's a really good point. So when I was in Glendive back in February or March, my cousin Logan was there, and he's a rancher. He's a cowboy out in Ismi, and their family ranch is in Fallon. But I was talking about his dad's little brown book that he would carry in his pocket when he was checking on his cows. And he said, I've actually got that in my pocket right now. I've got my dad's little brown book. And that little brown book had everything in it.
Yeah.
The temperature that day, his wife's birthday, the cow number blank, and you know the weight and the where, and everything is in this little brown book. And you think about it, when you talk about AI, when that combine is moving with AI now, it can create that little brown book for you where it's going to be like, ooh, you know, or when you're spraying or when you're whatever, oh, we need more water here, we need more fertilizer over here, we need more pesticides here, a little less over there, a little more here. It's doing all of that, and it's learning all of that in real time.
In real time. A great example in the combine right now, the harvest automation is what it's called, have the ability to take a satellite image at the height of the growing season, couple that with cameras that are looking at the crop as it's coming into the combine, and speeding that machine up or slowing it down based on the volume it's expecting into the head, and making adjustments in the concaves and all the different things in the machine in real time to boost productivity. It's you know, different world than it used to be, and the ability to be more efficient, more effective, and drive down the cost per acre of what it takes a grower to work in the market.
I just saw University of Montana President Seth Bodnar walk by, and it was like this. Oh, I'm with you, brother. I feel you. It's like we're happy for our Montana friends at Montana State, but oh man, you know, as I, of course, I'm a Montana Grizz alumni myself.
Big week for the Bobcats,
you know,
that's for sure.
What a game, what a week. My goodness. And you know, I'll tell you what, I would say, you know, all off the joke with the President Bodnar, you know, here's the deal. The Grizz got a couple of national championships, and the Bobcats got mad. And they did something about it, and so maybe this will, provoke the Grizz alum to step up even bigger as well. But what incredible teams we've got across the board here in the Mondak region, all across the board. Back to workforce development, about 1 minute before the break, and then if you can stick around for four minutes, we'll talk more. You're going to be the moderator for this discussion. Ed Buttrey, who is now the president and CEO of the Montana Hospital Association, is there. Tracy German with Northrop Grumman is going to be part of that. Elizabeth Feary, speaking of Montana State University. She heads up career services there. But you're the moderator, so you've probably got your questions already lined out. So I'm interested in hearing what your questions are going to be and maybe some anticipated answers as well.
Yeah,
no time to get into that. So about 20 seconds before the break, what do you want to share?
Yeah, I tell you, the big piece, workforce has been an issue for generations. It's been important, but it's becoming more acute today. And so trying to, the business community that's here, spur the ideas, the best practices, the how do we take this to the next level? How do we partner education system? How do we partner industry?
Hold that thought.
You bet.
Your morning cup of Sean. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
Opposition, radicalism, led by AOC, the squad, Jasmine Crockett, Chuckie Schumer, Mamdani, Pocahontas, Grandpa Bernie. There's a lot at stake. It's only happened 3 times in 100 years the party in power maintains control at a midterm. It's only happened 4 times in 150 years. We have to defy historical trends to win this midterm election. Do not listen to those that say it can't happen. It can. It can if all of you engage. It can if you care enough. And for those that want to distract you and fight amongst themselves, ignore them.
The conservative underground meets later today on the Sean Hannity Show.
I mean, this is an incredible story for 2025. Silver gained a whopping 115% increase this past year alone. Unbelievable. Now, analysts are saying it could hit even $100 an ounce next year. Look, not only have I been buying silver for 40 years, but I've been doing commercials just like this telling you how to diversify and have a part of your portfolio in gold and silver for 3 years now. That's why I am a customer of the best in the business, and that is GoldCo. They've got over 8,000 five-star reviews. They got a AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. They are offering you a free 2026 gold and silver kit, plus a limited time offer where you can get a 10% instant match in bonus gold or silver, and that's just for getting started. Call now, 855-815-GOLD, or just go to HannityGold.com. That's 855-815-G-O-L-D or HannityGold.com.
Fox rocks.
I'm Monica DeLuca. Taylor Swift is breaking her own Billboard Hot 100 record. Her song, The Fate of Ophelia, has become her sole longest-leading Hot 100 hit, beating Antihero and her other number one hits. The Fate of Ophelia reaching the top spot for 9 weeks, resurging after holiday classics fell from the list. And ASAP Rocky is out with a new music video for his song, Punk Rocky. The video stars Winona Ryder as a neighbor, watching approvingly as ASAP Rocky and his punk rock band perform in a garage, until another neighbor calls the cops over the noise. The song, Punk Rocky, will be featured on his upcoming album, Don't Be Dumb, his first full-length release in 8 years, which features cover art by Tim Burton. The album is out January 16th. That's Fox Rocks on Fox News.
Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, back to it here. Hey, this is very exciting. We had Line 49 Rifle, the Alberta, Montana gun business. There is a minister from the province of Alberta here, and I heard he is great to talk to and very interesting to hear from. So he is going to join us. I just got a chance to shake his hand. He is going to join us coming up here at the start of the 9 o'clock hour. Adam Gilbertson, the moderator for this workforce development conversation here at the Montana Chamber of Commerce's Business Days at the Capitol event. So what are some of the questions you're going to have for these folks, Northrop Grumman, the Montana Hospital Association, MSU, et cetera?
But I think we're, you know, really going to focus on what's happening in each of these industry sectors. You know, what are both the best practices that are working? What are the challenges they're facing around retaining and attracting workforce? And then how do we collectively, as a business organization in the state with the Montana Chamber, how do we work together to create the scale we need? You know, it's one thing for RDO to come in and have a program in Billings or in Great Falls. We may need one or two kids, three kids a year if we're really pushing hard. But how do we get enough scale, right? And so that we can have a sustainable program working with the high schools, working with the colleges to create these pathways for young people that maybe they didn't know. You know, if I go be a lawyer, I know what my path is largely. But if I want to go into the equipment world, I want to go into healthcare and not be a doctor or a nurse, how do I get into that process? And how in the business community can we partner better in that? And so that's what the panel is going to be talking quite a bit about. And the governor's challenged us all to bring this together and kind of break down some of those silos that exist when, you know, education's doing their thing and industry's out doing their thing and the government, the state government and labor commissioner is doing their thing. How do we bring it all together and actually build some synergy into that process?
Yeah. Yeah, because at the end of the day, why? Well, it's good for the economy. It's good for jobs. It's good for these businesses. But for those of us with kids here in Montana, I referenced this earlier, I think, when we were talking. I forget if we were talking with Todd O'Hara or whoever. But it's like, okay, Montana, look, since COVID-19 especially, a lot of folks move into this state. A lot of like-minded folks, freedom fighters, political refugees. And a lot of them brought a lot of wealth with them.
Yep.
And so that helps the economy because they bring wealth in. But take a town like Libby, for example. Well, you know, Libby economically is, you know, doing pretty good on paper because of, you know, folks that are approaching retirement or retired brought more wealth with them. And so that helps, you know, your general businesses in the area. It helps the economic numbers. But that still doesn't help those kids that graduate from Libby High School stay in Libby with a high-wage job. What does that? Timber, mining, manufacturing.
That's right.
And so how do we make sure that they've got the training and the job opportunities on the backside so that they can stay in a place like Libby, Montana?
That's right. Getting that exposure for industry to young people at a young age, letting them see what the careers might look like, gives them an opportunity to realize that there's something right here at home that I can stay for. It's also, you know, pretty challenging when you're an employer and you get a resume, but you've got nothing behind the resume, right? You're looking at it, you're trying to find the things that make sense, whereas if you start partnering in school, you get to see them grow, them learn, them develop, take on new responsibilities. And then at that point where they're ready to graduate, I might be ready to give them a chance.
That's right.
Right?
That's right. Because otherwise, you look at some kid's resume right now. Well, what do you look at? Well, okay, I see that football coach that I respect. I'm going to call that football coach because he'll tell me how good of a worker this kid is. But now you can look and you can see, oh, I see who his electrician coach was. I see who his heavy equipment operator coach was. I'm going to call that coach and see about this kid.
Yep, absolutely. And it's a great way to keep Montana kids right here in Montana.
That's right. Well, I'm going to try to listen in on that one after my show wraps up. But either way, I'd love to hear. Maybe we'll get you on next week to give us a recap of what stood out to you, if you don't mind. That'd be great to do the follow-up conversation on that as well. All right, Adam Gilbertson, great to see you as always, my friend.
Thank you, sir.
All right. I'll bet your son was pretty excited about that football game, too.
Big game for him. Henry was pretty happy. So
we should have had him call into the show and do the official post-game analysis recap. That kid is great. All right. Quick break. We've got the minister from Alberta here. This is this should be a great conversation coming up. I'm going to ask him if he wants to become a part of the United. Oh, okay. I'll be diplomatic about it. I'll go with it.
Here's that song again for the 100th time today. Here's that song again. It's gonna be stuck in your head all day.
Yay!
Here's that song again.
It will make you cray cray.
You love your kids enough to watch that TV show a bajillion times. Love them enough to make sure they're in the right car seat for their age and size. Show them you love them. Keep them safe. Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
You wanted to be cool, which led you to smoking, which led to a pack a day. Then you met that special someone, which led to starting a life with them, which led to wanting to live longer, which led to quitting. Then you heard you may be at risk for lung cancer, which led you to getting a low-dose CT scan. If you smoked, Get scanned. Talk to your doctor and learn more at savedbythescan.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.